God just didn't give me those kind of skills, so I guess I'm Jim. What you see is what you get. Okay, let's go ahead and read. So we finished chapter 5 now. We're ready to start chapter 6. And so let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And who'd read that for us this morning? John?
Beware of doing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. And when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay. So, in what areas of our spiritual lives were we to be different? Okay. We're to live out our daily lives in humility and not being boastful or prideful. Not flaunting or making everybody aware of the good deeds we do. Folks, we tend to do that. We want pats on the back. Okay? Then God will reward us openly in the now and now for our deeds. Okay? But if we make sure everybody knows about it, looking for the praise of men, God will not reward us. Okay? And again, it comes back, what is the motive that we have behind what we're doing? What's our motive? What's our real motive? There's a motive that we say that it is, but then there's the real motive, you know, hidden underneath. But if we make sure everybody knows about it, looking for the praise of men, God will not reward us because we have received our praise from men. And thus we have our reward. So if we're doing it in a wrongful manner for the praise of men, okay, don't expect any praise from God. Don't expect it. You lost. Okay? Folks, that is, let's see, wood, hay, and stubble. That's not quite right. Straw? Anyway, you know, the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, okay? And that's how we build our lives, okay? It's not gold, silver, and precious stones when we're doing it for pats on the back and praises of men. We have lost our reward. Don't expect anything from God. And we're wanting to please God, and we want to be rewarded by God, and He promises He will. But we don't do it for the reward. We just do it out of love for Him, and then He will see to it that He will reward us if we do things right. We need to be constantly, honestly asking ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? Why do some play the piano? Why do some usher? Why do some teach Sunday school? Why do some preach? Okay? What's the real motive, you know? Why do you put money in the offering? You know, all these different things. What's the real reason why we're doing what we're doing? We may say to honor the Lord, and we probably will, and that sounds so pious, okay? I'm doing it to honor the Lord. But as we look way down deep inside, is that the real reason we're doing something? And a lot of times, I've got to double check. Okay, Jim, why are you doing this? Why did you do that? Why did you do whatever, you know? And are you wanting to praise a man, or are you doing it because you're trying to honor and glorify God? And there, I mean, to be honest, there's a lot of times I get it wrong. Okay, I'm just being open with you. Okay, are we secretly doing it to please God or to get praise of men? Many times we have to admit that we're really doing it for the wrong reasons. If that is true, realize that we have lost any reward from God. That's what this is teaching right here. We received it from the praise of men that we were truly seeking. That's really what I wanted. Oh, scratch my back, that feels so good. I'll give you all day to stop that, you know, type of thing. And wrong motive. And so, folks, examine your motives. We need to examine our motives as to why we're really doing something. Let's go ahead and go on to Matthew 6 through 8. And who'll read that? 6 through 8. Pastor?
But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
Okay, thank you. And I guess we'd already read. Okay, I'm having us read things twice this morning. All right. When we pray, we should pause and consider. And it's something we need to think about. And in the book of Psalms, there is a little word in the book of Psalms that appears every now and then. That word is Selah. Selah. Okay. Can somebody tell me what that little word Selah, what does that actually mean? What does Selah mean? John?
There seems to be a little confusion, but generally it means to pause and think about it, as I understand it.
Okay. Consider what was just said. Ponder it. You know, chew it up. Chew up the cud, okay? You know, just stop and pause and consider. And as we go to praying, we're talking about praying. Folks, when we pray, we need a Selah before we pray. We need to pause and consider who it is that we are addressing. Who is it that we are addressing when we pray? Okay? We're addressing God, the Father, okay? The one who spoke and brought this world into existence. And again, if we just think about all the attributes of God, this is who we are addressing, okay? And think of his attributes. I'm just going to start it off here. Some attributes of God. And I'm going to ask you to call some out. Some attributes of God. I'm just going to say forgiving, long-suffering. All right, you guys call them back. Some of his attributes. Who are we addressing?
All-knowing,
yes. Keep them coming. Come on, folks.
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering. What?
All-powerful.
All-powerful. Okay. Keep them coming.
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent, right.
Faithful.
Faithful. Okay. Loving. Okay. Folks, the list could go on and on and on and on. Folks, when we go to pray, that is who we're addressing. That one has all these attributes. And we could spend the rest of this class just calling out attributes of God, you know. And the one that gave so much to give us so much when we undeserve it. And so I just want to mention that about prayer. We need to stop again and Selah and just consider who it is that we are addressing. Okay. So Jesus is condemning those who make a big show out of their eloquent and lengthy praying. They're trying to impress those who are in hearing range. Are we ever guilty of that? Okay. Jesus says that we are not to focus on showmanship as we pray. It is better to get alone and make your prayers known to God. That's what this is teaching. He says that he will then reward us openly. And he goes on to say, and use not vain repetitions. And notice that God calls that vain. Vain repetitions. Okay? And again, I just, as soon as I mentioned, I went to a Catholic funeral one time. And I wanted to get there early, and I knew nothing about them. In fact, I never been to a Catholic funeral in my life that I remember. But anyway, but before the thing, they had 30 minutes of the recital of the rosary, you know. And they're sitting there reciting, and I don't, something about pray, Holy Mother Mary of God, pray for sinners now. And who can recite the rosary? What's that?
I never learned it.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Anyway, they repeat that, and they just repeated that over and over and over. And I guess the theory is, Catholic theory was, the more you say that thing, I guess it gives you benefits and glory. Add additional benefits, and the more you recite it. Over and over and over and over. God calls it vain. Okay? And anyway. And a lot of the songs, you know, these praise songs and stuff, we call them the 7-Eleven songs, you know. Repeat the same thing over and over and over and over again, you know. God calls that vain. We're not to do that. Not to do that, okay? And I heard somebody say this one time. This is not original, okay? But talking about repeating things, reading prayers. After Nancy passed away, I was attending what they call grief share meetings, and I needed that to help pull me through this thing, to carry me through it. And it's a group of people that the teachers, everybody, is somebody that has lost a close loved one. They know what they're talking about. And again, I think, you know, people say they understand. I don't think you can understand that at all until you go through it. Anyway, along with that, they gave us some brochures, some booklets to read, you know, to help you through the grieving process. And that happened to be written by the Catholics, okay? But the books, their theory and the thing, it was, what was in the books was good. And I remember one time that there's different people reciting, you know, things that happened to them. And one of them was this Catholic priestess, okay? And she was a Catholic priest. And anyway, and she would go to console people, you know, on home visits and stuff, trying to help people carry them through the grieving process. But at the end, they would always pray. She would always pray. But they would always read a written prayer. And it's always been written out and everything. And this gal, she's been to seminary and all this other stuff, and she's all the training and everything. But she had openly said in there, I had never prayed on my own, you know. And any time I did it, well, there's one time that she was with a lady, with a grieving person anyway, and she was getting ready to read a prayer, and this person said, hey, I don't want you to read a prayer, but I would like you to pray on your own, in your own words, and pray for me that way. No, don't read a prayer. And this gal wrote in this thing how absolutely horrified she was. Says, I have never done that in my life, and she was scared to death. And she started stumbling through a prayer on her own, and she finally says something about, man, I finally made it through that. And I mean, I breathe a sigh of relief. That's one of the worst things she ever had to do, is recite her own prayer. And, you know, I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, oh my, oh my, oh my. Here's an idea. And I heard, this is not original. This was, now that, I said that before I said all that, but anyway, now this is what I was, where I was. This is not original, but just think of this for a minute. Guys, okay, when you were dating your wife, how would she have responded to, when you're, okay, you're getting ready to propose to her, how would she have responded if you pulled out a piece of paper and read to her how much you loved her and how wonderful you thought she was, and eventually, I would like for you to marry me? How would she respond if you read that out of a sheet of paper? That would probably end the relationship right there, okay? And again, but think about God, you know, how God wants to hear from us, but he wants us to pray from our heart, you know, and the same type of thing. Or if you just keep repeating, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, reading this, you know, how would she have responded? Put it on a human level, okay? That's what we do to God. And how do you think he takes that? So anyway, I thought that was good. I remember, that's been years and years ago that I heard that. When we pray, we should speak or pray from the heart. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Be sincere. Be real. Before we move on, any questions or comments?
So one question, Jim.
Sure.
I have an answer to this question, but I don't know if it's the answer to this question. In Matthew 6, 7, when you pray, 6, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So it's a secret. It's a prayer. Contrast that with Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Secretly, or where two or three are together? Corporately.
Both, yeah.
That was my answer. I was interested in anybody else. But it is a contrast there. Of course, Matthew 18 is on church discipline.
Okay.
Which is a difference from what here. But these are some things that, as you read and you see some potential paradox, there is an answer. And that was my answer, but I didn't think it was a better one.
Yeah, I think openly. In fact, you know, when the verse you just mentioned, you stop and think about this. It says, when two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. Folks, there's more than two or three people here right now. Okay, so where's Christ? He's right here. And I hope everything that's said and done, I mean, he's listening. I hope it honors him. You know, we need to bear that in mind. He is here. Welcome, Lord Jesus. We're glad to have you here. Welcome. Okay.
God is omnipresent, so he's here whether one person's here or all of us are here.
Well, yeah, that's true too. How do you factor all these things out, folks? It's kind of like what Royce is bringing up here, you know. Okay, good points. Anybody else before we move on?
Jim, I'm not sure I understood the question or the answer to all that.
I'm going to let you run that by again, Royce, louder.
The question would be, the apparent paradox would be, do you go secretly and God listens to you, or do you go corporately with two or three or a gathering where God is there? Is God there when you are there in your secret room? The answer is yes.
So your answer was yes to both.
Yeah, but there's a different context in both of those. One, in Matthew 18, is a church discipline issue, and right here it is, how do you pray? Do you pray so everyone... We used to be Lutherans, and one thing that I noticed is that at the end of our membership in the Lutheran church, one thing I noticed is that
Can you speak up louder? Because that thing's drowning you out.
It's a liturgical truth. And we notice that, or I notice that saying the liturgy the loudest seemed to be the intent of, look how good I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that might be wrong, but I just noticed that. I'm going, wow, that, I mean, it's just an observation.
It was basically
a liturgy. Yeah, it's a different. So it's kind of along the lines of, do you pray so everybody can hear you, or do you say the liturgy so everybody can hear you, even though it's a written thing here, or do you pray quietly to God,
okay,
where He can hear you, so, and not be boastful.
Okay. Did you get that, Jeffrey?
Thank you, yes.
Okay. And I used to be Lutheran too, and I know exactly what you're talking about, okay? Oh, really?
Oh, it's just all man-made.
So they've removed scripture out of the liturgy?
A lot of it, yeah. They've really, it's really gone away.
Wow. I remember that was an interesting comment. Nancy was a Baptist from her Dayton, and I'm a Lutheran. And I always felt like a black sheep, you know, because they knew their Bible and they were trying to live the Bible, and I wasn't. I didn't. And anyway, now I had a point. You ever have a senior moment where you just, I totally lost it, folks. All right. Anyway, all right. Forget
that. I have a comment.
Yes. Okay. And I did receive a lot of good training in the Lutheran Church. I really did when I was a young kid. And I mean, things that really shaped my life good. But anyway, I think your hand was up, Tracy. Okay. I remember now what I was going to say. When Nancy was Baptist and I was Lutheran and we were trying to get married, and each of us wanted the other one to join. And which church were we going to join? You know, we're going to be Lutherans, we're going to be Baptists. And Nancy was adamant. She did not want to be Lutheran. I was adamant. I did not become one of them staunch Baptists, because them people tried to live the Bible and they studied the Bible and this. And, you know, I could go to church on Sunday morning. And anyway. But so we finally compromised. We joined the Methodist Church. That was our compromise. Okay. So that's what I was trying to remember. Okay. Folks, we're down to 2 minutes. And we're at a stopping point right here at Matthew 6:8. And there's not enough time to discuss that. So any other questions or comments before we close? John?
I think this is the attitude of the heart, meaning not the old heart, the old man, but the heart that we have from God. And And you mentioned Selah. When you're repeating some kind of liturgy, and I've seen that happen in the Philippines, religious Catholics would go around and they had their rosary and they would be working on it, you know. It's pretty hard to Selah if you're just doing a liturgy like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stop and think about what you're doing, what it means, or anything. It's just a system of words.
Yeah.
But if you, like some have just mentioned, if you think about what you are doing and what it really means in spite of how it's being done, you can get something out of it because it is Scripture and God mm-hmm. blesses Scripture.
Yes. Yes, it is. In fact, I'm kind of surprised. It seemed like this congregation group in here, we got a lot of Lutherans in here. Ex-Lutherans, okay. You too? Okay. Roberta, all right. Anyway, okay, let's close the word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time and your word. Thank you that you've given us your word. Lord, it's the instruction book. And Lord, your instructions are hard to follow. But Lord, that needs to be our desire. It needs to be our mindset, Lord, trying to live for you and to do things like you're talking about here. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be instilling in us these truths. And Lord, just and help us, Lord, each and every one of us, Lord, just to try our best to try to follow, Lord, to be obedient in doing these things that we're talking about. Because it's your word and it's your instructions, and that's the way we honor you. So help us, Lord, to do that. I pray that you'll be the pastor this morning, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord, as he speaks to us. And I pray that you might speak to us through him. And, Lord, just help us to learn and to grow. And again, Lord, just to have a closer walk with you. And thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.